My mom's in the office, so or in the audience, so sorry, Mom. So in 2006, I was studying, I was in grad school for creative writing in London, and I wanted to get out of town for the weekend. So I booked a ticket to Ljubljana, Slovenia, because it was the cheapest flight around, and I traveled throughout Europe, but I've never been that far east. So I told my professors about it, and they were like, are you going to go see what the air is like? Because they're British, and they're incapable of genuine emotion. So Ljubljana was gorgeous. It was these big, you know, idyllic Art Nouveau buildings on one half in the old town, and then in the other half, it was just this bombed out skeleton from the Civil War back in the 90s. So one night I'm at an Italian restaurant getting some dinner, and an idea for a book comes to me. I think, wouldn't it be cool if there were two thieves, and they were like married or dating or something, and their objective was that they had to steal something that the other person had. So I jotted it down on a napkin and shoved it in my pocket and went on my way. I ended up at a cafe later and ended up striking up a conversation with an older Slovenian gentleman, and he wanted to buy me a coffee because he wanted someone to practice his English with. But unfortunately, his English was pretty bad, but my Slovenian is totally non-existent. So we ended up having this like random halting conversation in Spanish, in broken Spanish. But he was telling me the most amazing things about what it was like to live in Ljubljana and Slovenia back then during the Civil War, and just, you know, like bombers screaming overhead and air raid sirens and all this insane stuff. So as I'm walking back to the hostel, what I should have been thinking was, you're so lucky, man. You are never going to have a conversation like this ever again. But instead, what I was thinking was, I really don't feel so well. And maybe it's the three coffees I just drank in 45 minutes, but I'm pretty sure that that dude just tried to drug me, and he's going to sell me for parts on the black market. I've seen Hostel. I know what they do to American backpackers. This is going to go really awry. And that sounds ridiculous, but that's actually not the first time that I've been traveling and thought I was going to be poisoned or drugged or sold on the black market. This happens kind of frequently. I think I watch too many movies and I have trouble distinguishing reality from fiction. So I get back to the hostel and make myself puke a bunch of times, as this is the normal thing to do. And as I'm leaving, I run into these other American backpackers who were studying in Budapest. They asked if I was okay, and I told them the story. They looked at me like I was insane, because I probably sounded like I was insane. But they were like, you know, just come out with us. That way you're with people for tonight. So we got a couple beers, and then we ended up at a rave that was held in a former prison for Milosevic dissenters. And it was like, So to get into the rave, you had to walk over this big pile of rubble and then pass through this like gaping 10-foot hole in the wall that was from one of the bombing campaigns. So we have a couple more beers, and then I remember smoking weed out of a plastic wrapper, because that seems like a good idea when you're in Slovenia for some reason. And then like we're running through the city, and then we're jumping over fences like we're goats or something. And then I wake up with the most god-awful hangover I've ever had in my life, as one is wont to do after smoking plastic. So I get up and puke some more, and eventually I pull on my jeans and I find the napkin from the night before. I'm thinking, well, thieves, you know, that's kind of cool, but that's kind of like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. But what if instead it was drug dealers, and the drug dealer's partner was his girlfriend, and he's doing like the normal 20-something fear of commitment type thing, and it was the same thing that I was experiencing then with my then-girlfriend and now wife of 7 years. I know, we just had our anniversary. It was great, even though I forgot to buy her a card, which she reminded me about today. So then we're seeing the relationship through the prism of drug dealing. And what if, to make it more complicated, because everything in fiction has to be complicated, the guy thinks that their supplier, who is a longtime friend of the woman, he thinks that he still harbors feelings for her. So he's secretly trying to ruin their relationship by sending them late shipments and things like that. So later on, I'm in an English language bookstore, and I picked up Paul Auster's New York trilogy. Before you judge me, I was in grad school. That kind of thing happens. And on the shelf, I see a copy of The Outsiders. The Outsiders was one of my favorite books. It was like the first book that really showed me what a book could be and really got me, you know, invested and interested about reading. So I'm like, all right, man, stay gold, Pony Boy. I'm like, Stay Gold, that's kind of a cool name for a pawn shop, especially if it's a front for drug dealing. And what if, metaphor, the shop is all run down like the guy inside, so the sign is always fritzing, and instead of stay gold, it says stay God, because the guy is trying to, like, stay in control of his life. And then when things get really, really bad, it says say God, because he's, you know, like, about to spiral out of control. So I started writing stay God on the flight home, and it was weird over those couple months, because it was like the world unfolded, sort of, and instead of being this character living through some story that someone else had already written, I was taking all these experiences from, like, bartending in Baltimore and living around here and traveling through all these random places in Europe and combining them into one, you know, like, cohesive narrative that I actually controlled. And today, you know, 6-7 books in, that sense of awe is still there. So thank you very much.